Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public. Might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello, 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 and welcome to episode 153, Why Does It Matter, of the Purple Pants Podcast. I serve as your humble and oh so gracious host, Bryce Isaiah, and I thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever podcasts reside, where the podcast resides, where the podcast resides. We are there. Hit subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars. What is the dealio with everybody? I hope everyone is doing well. Whew, your baby boy. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. I don't have much of a voice left, but why does it matter? Because we had such an amazing time this weekend. Your baby boy was on the road. We went to DC for our Bryce and Wynn present, the District 42. And when I say y'all showed up and showed out, it was such an amazing experience, such an amazing time. Shout out to the Johnny Fairplay. Shout out to Ayana from the challenge. Shout out to Ramona, season one, the queen, Sandra, Angela from Ghost Island. And you know what? It was a lot of other special people in the building. So if you were there, you know, shout out to all of the fans. Not even the fans, because guess what? We friends now that came out proper 21 in DC. Thank you for hosting us. We had such an amazing time. The love, the support was in the air. We watched Survivor. It was a good episode. The Tribal. You would have thought we was at the Super Bowl. I was like, ooh. Listen, one of the podcast interns, Danny, lives in the area and she was able to come. So we were able to finally meet each other. It was such an amazing experience. And I just have to say, the Purple Pants posse was in the building. I can't tell you how many people came up to me. It's like, we listen to the podcast. We love Survivor News. And I was telling Wendell, I was like, we might have to get some of the posse on as contributors. So I don't know. Let me know if you might be interested. But it was, I can't tell you how much fun, how much love, how much stress, you know, just making sure everything is right, making sure everybody is good. Also, shout out to Fox 5 in DC. Wendell and I went up to the news station and, you know, we did a little promo, you know, talked a little celebrity tea, and it was just such a blessing because I was so nervous, and we were on the car ride down to the station, and I'm like, what if they ask me this? What if they ask me this? And I'm giving like these answers like, yes, this is this. And Wendell is like, if you don't be quiet and just be yourself. And it really was such an amazing experience. And why does it matter? It matters because we just were supposed to come up for a 5-minute segment. Wendell and I was killing it so much. They said, well, can you stay for the after show? Okay. Then they got our information. They said, listen, we might need to book y'all again. Listen, okay. Why does it matter? Show up as your authentic self, okay? That's why it matters. Then from DC, we had to head down to Pittsburgh for a charity basketball game. You say basketball and Bryce, do them two go together? And the answer is no. But we went down for the third annual celebrity basketball event hosted by Penn State, the greater Allegheny campus, and from Pittsburgh metropolitan area Hispanic Chamber of Commerce hosted a charity event, and they raised over $26,000 for scholarships and education for children in the area. And it was such a great time. Big D was there. Okay. We had people from F-Boy Island, BG and Casey. There was Josh. Okay. Martinez and Fessy from the challenge. We had some Harlem Globetrotters. Trouters? Is that Harlem Globe? Harlem Globe Trouters were in the building. It was such a great experience. And yeah, you know, we host, there was a couple events we had to do. Then, of course, you know, we had to go out one night and woo, bang, bang. Listen, it was a jam-packed weekend. We had to get the Survivor news out. So if you haven't checked out episode 152, Gone Fishing, that is available now. Run that episode back or head over to the Bryce Isaiah YouTube channel. Make sure you subscribe, listen to it, get into it. Okay, we had to rewatch Survivor on the drive down from DC to Pittsburgh. Listen, it's getting very booked and busy. And your baby boy is tired. We got back Sunday. Your baby boy had to go to work. Listen, it was given a lot, but it was all worth it just to be able to put on these amazing events and just connect friends. I don't even say fans, friends with, you know, people from their shows that they love to watch and watching it together. So it's just so exciting. Baby boy is tired. I've been literally screaming all weekend. Well, first of all, I just scream anyway. Sometimes I'll be talking to Barb. She'd be like, why are you screaming? I'm like, oh, I didn't know I was screaming. But I am really happy to be back recording this week's episode with you guys. And let me just give you the rundown. We got the church announcements, and it is a casual tea episode. And that means I've got my baby boy, Amon, with me, and we are discussing Judge Ketanji Brown's votes. We're talking Will Smith and the 10-year ban from the Oscars. We're talking OnlyFans star Courtney Taylor. Ooh, have y'all heard about the Abercrombie and Fitch documentary heading to Netflix? We discuss Lee Daniels and Monique ending their 13-year feud. Baby Jussie Smollett is back making headlines again. And we have to get the state of Alabama together after they sign multiple anti-trans laws, bills into laws. So we are pouring a lot of thoughts into this week's episode. And, you know, while we were discussing Alabama signing those multiple anti-trans bills, really just got me upset. And it's just like, why does it matter? Why are people so concerned with what somebody else is doing with themselves and inside of their home and in the privacy of their own life? Mind your business and be blessed. Mind your business and drink some water. I'm sure you've got some things to attend to in your own life. Why are you concerned with other people? Let people be great. Give people some grace. Show people some love. Who hurt you? Who hurt you as a child that you have to be so negative and that you have to be so homophobic? You've got to be so transphobic. I don't understand it. Why does it matter? And guess what? The answer is it doesn't. Continue to live in your authentic, true life. Let your light shine. Don't let nobody dim your light. Now let's get into these church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. It's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
And on this week's church announcements, I just wanted to give y'all the rest of the dates for the Bryce and Wynn Present, because it's coming up. The summer is approaching. And listen, we trying to go into the summer with a bang. So April 20th, Chicago, Bryce and Wynn Present is in your city. Okay. And we bringing a couple of our friends with us. So grab your tickets now. Also, you know, May 3rd is a Tuesday night. Wendell and I are heading to New York to host a karaoke party for Robert. You know, there is a live show on May 4th. So Wendell and I are kicking it off May 3rd. Also, Philadelphia, they say home is where the heart is. And I know y'all been saying, Bryson, where y'all been going all these places and y'all haven't come back to Philly? Well, listen, Philly, we got you. Okay. May 11th, we will be in Philadelphia. Click the link in my bio and you can get all of these tickets that I'm talking about. And then listen, Posse, major alert, major announcement alert. I'm giving you the exclusive tea. Word on the block is that the finale of season 42 is going to be May 25th. And guess what? Okay. I'm going back to Cali. Hey, one more time. I'm going back to Cali. That's right. Everybody in the West Coast has been saying, y'all ain't coming to this side of the country. Well, guess what? We are. May 25th, Bryce and Wynn Present is teaming up with the Lauren Ashley Beck to host a finale party that you do not want to miss. Okay. Listen, let me say it again. May 25th, Bryce and Wynn Present, in collaboration with Lauren Ashley Beck, are hosting an epic finale party in LA. Deets will be coming soon, maybe even this week. But listen, your baby boys are out here. Thank you so much for always supporting us. And listen, I can't wait to see you. We coming to a city near you. Click the link in my bio. Click the link in Wendell's Instagram bio or go over there to the Bryce and Wynn Present Instagram. Click follow and click the link in the bio and get your tickets. We'll see you on the road.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's a casual tea with Amon and B. 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 It's a casual tea.
And we are back this week with your casual tea. It's been a little minute, but we back. It's been a little minute, but we back with the casual tea with Amon and B. Welcome back. Where is the lemon juice? It's giving no voice.
Woo!
Welcome back to the podcast. It is the baby boy that is Amon Aldwin. How are you?
I am great. I am happy to be back talking all things pop culture with you and the rest of the Purple Pants posse. I know that there was at least one person that I know of that has been waiting for another casual tea ever since the Will Smith debacle.
Listen.
I'm sure he's not the only one. So here we are, guys.
We're here. We are reporting live for duty. But before we get into that mess, I just wanted to just touch on the Senate confirming Ketanji Brown to the Supreme Court in the historic vote. I just want to know your thoughts on it because it was, first of all, it's long overdue. Mm-hmm. We could start there. But I just thought it was amazing. And the thing that like touched me the most was to have the president of the Senate, which is our vice president, a black woman, you know, yes, signing in a judge to the highest court of the land, another black woman. It just was like, for me, the optics of little black and brown children at home, little black and brown girls at home watching that and seeing that light up, I just thought it was rather moving for me.
Yeah, I mean, look, for the most part, I have not paid too much attention to it. Not because, you know, not because I didn't want to watch it. Yes, because I didn't want to watch it, but not because I just was disinterested, but more so, you know, I did tune in from time to time on like C-SPAN or whatever, like while I'm at my desk, and just the questions that she was getting asked, all of this ridiculous stuff. I was just like, I don't want to subject myself to this because we knew she was going to get confirmed. Obviously, it wasn't going to be as bipartisan as we would have hoped the vote. But I knew that she was going to get confirmed and there was really nothing that they could do to stop this from happening because we got to sit there and watch Trump's side do all of this stuff with Brett Kavanaugh and with Amy Coney Barrett. So if we couldn't stop those hoes from getting in there, then they damn sure were not going to stop Miss Ketanji Brown Jackson from getting in there. But I'm immensely proud. And as more and more time went on and we began to dig more and more into this woman's background, just how qualified she is for this position is not something that I was privy to. I knew that there was no way that they were going to put a black woman up there and she wasn't beyond reproach. I knew that much. I knew that for sure. But when people started to lay out what she's actually done over these other Supreme Court justices, I'm like, y'all are crazy. Y'all are crazy if y'all are trying to besmirch this woman's name and act like she does not deserve to be in that chair. Y'all are crazy.
She by far is the most qualified judge to sit up there.
Ever. Like
I felt the exact same way. I saw an article circulating around and it had laid out, you know, all of the like the qualifications of which everyone had, and it had hers, and literally hers met I was just like, well, damn. And y'all giving pushback, like, yeah, but we ain't even gonna go there. It's just, I just wanted to acknowledge that, and I am, you know, long overdue, but, you know,
long excited. Overdue, and it's amazing. And I know that there's a lot of commentary about just how amazing this is, and there are some people that, you know, I was watching The View the other day, and I love Sarah Haynes. I don't know how many people, Purple Pants Posse folks are also View watchers. But I watch almost every day. I'm a big fan of Sarah Haynes. She's sort of like the moderate person in the middle between all arguments, always sort of is understanding of both sides. And she, she's been very supportive of Miss Ketanji Brown Jackson. But she did say something on Friday's show where she sort of just talked about how important this is just because she's a woman. And of course, that is completely valid. But I'm so glad that... because Whoopi Goldberg is not there on Fridays, and for whatever reason, Sunny Hostin was not there on Friday either. I think she was filming something, I think she was in D.C. Helping to celebrate the fact that she got the seat. But Anna Navarro did, you know, make the point, this is especially great because she is a black woman. And I know that there are a lot of people that would wish, on either side, that would wish that we would stop bringing up race in every facet of this country's existence. But guys, once again, and we've talked about it on this show multiple times, like, racism is ingrained in this country's DNA. There really isn't anything that we can do about that. And black people have the unfortunate task of sort of being the social barometer for how the morality of this country is going, because of the fact that we sort of have had a particularly, not the only, but a particularly rough road in this in the history of this country. I think every time one of us is able to make a stride, it's like, wow, we are the benchmark for what it means to progress, what it means to get away from this country's horrible, horrible past. So yes, the fact that she is a Black woman, the very first Black woman in this country's history to be a Supreme Court justice, when we know that the statistics about the experiences of Black women in this country, that is a remarkable feat. And so, yes, it's great that she's a woman, but particularly that she is Black, that is astounding. It's a shame that it is astounding, but it's astounding nonetheless, and there's really nothing that we can do about that. So you might as well just hop on board and celebrate that. Celebrate her womanhood, celebrate her Blackness, celebrate her Black womanhood. Yes. Point blank, period.
And that's what we are doing here on the Purple Pants podcast. And so that wasn't something that Amon and I had like discussed before, but I just was like, you know what? We can't do a casual tea without weighing in on that. And we're so excited and so happy. Now, let's get in a little bit to the mess, okay? We all know Will Smith. We all know the Emmys. We watched it, okay? But I am so curious to know because with their opinions rather limited, the Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts and Science Board of Governors just decided that Will Smith will not be able to attend the Oscars for 10 years for slapping Chris Rock on stage and the awards on March 27th. The board has decided for a period of 10 years from April 8th, 2022, Mr. Smith shall not be permitted to attend any Academy events or programs in person or vote virtually. Limited, but not limited to the Academy Awards. I mean, I guess we haven't even really talked since everything has happened. We know everybody has an opinion on this situation. So I'ma just go ahead and say mine's, and mine's is it's never okay to put your hands on somebody. And that's just point blank period. It's just never okay to put your hands on anyone else. Never okay. And that's my stance on it. And I understand, and I am a proponent of always. You never know what somebody going through. You never know what somebody dealt with yesterday. You never know what somebody is in that moment. And so that's why I always, at my very best, try to be nice to people. Now, I understand people are, you know, defending Will Smith and just saying all of this. He had like, you know, he has had a rough couple of years. I get it. I understand it. But it's never okay. And if it were ever to be okay, it would never be okay. At the highlight, the biggest moment of your career, you receiving your first Academy Award, do you have the audacity, Mr. Smith, to walk up on this like, never okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, that's just my take on it. Now, do I have empathy for Will? Absolutely. Do I have empathy for Chris Rock? Absolutely. Chris Rock is by far not my favorite comedian at all. But does he deserve respect? Does he deserve protection? 1,000%. And that's just really my take on the incident. Now, I got some other takes on some other people's thoughts, but I'm curious to hear what your thoughts are.
Yeah, like, I think that we are pretty much in line with one another. It was a lot. It was a lot. And I will never forget watching that live because I could not figure out if it was a joke or not. And then when he starts cursing and screaming, that's how you know. Oh, okay.
I was like, ooh.
I was like, oh, wow. I think we were all Lupita Nyong'o in that moment. Just okay. Oh, all right.
Oh.
Like, it's just, I am so happy that I don't think that she's done any press because I'm sure she's probably the number one person getting phone calls and text messages and emails like, would you mind giving a statement? She's like, nope. My facial expressions were enough. Y'all got my reaction. That's it. I'm done. But I agree with you. I think, yeah, like this is look, a lot of people have been going the extra mile to bring up all of this old footage of Chris Rock's career.
Right.
Where he has been saying, you know, some less than kosher things being in Karma, like, I think there's a video circulating of him being in a room with, you know, I think Louis C.K. and and Seinfeld. And they are like saying the N-word, and he's sort of like not even objecting to it. So all sorts of damning evidence that people are compiling to justify him getting stricken in the face. First of all, that all of that is immaterial. I understand that that's all something that you guys don't like about him. I totally understand that. And that, there's quite a few things that I learned about Chris Rock myself that I'm like, oh, wow. Because I love Everybody Hates Chris. That's like really my only real foray into Chris Rock's career, because I didn't really spend a lot of time watching, you know, stand-up comedy as a kid. So I don't really know a lot about Chris Rock's material. I just know him as like a funny, yeah, that's pretty much it. And Everybody Hates Chris, that's it. So I understand that he is definitely not everyone's cup of tea. But at the same time, none of that has anything to do with he does not deserve to get slapped in the face on national television, even in light of a joke, which I'm quite confident. I mean, I don't know him for sure, but I just don't think that he really meant anything really, really harmful by it. And there's a lot of people bringing up conversations about black women and black women's hair and all of that. And I think all of that is true. But I think that two things, like oftentimes, two things can be true at the same time. That, yes, there is a huge issue with black men disrespecting black women in this country, especially in regards to their hair. But I don't necessarily think that that is the leading element here in the situation. Right. I think what happened is what we saw. He gets up there, he makes that joke, Will Smith laughs at it, then he notices that Jade is not laughing, then he's like, oh my goodness, I can't wake up tomorrow. We're already in the news a lot as it is, giving our entanglement and all this other stuff, which is
so. You know, really, so let me put myself more in the news, like
yeah, exactly. Let me. I don't want to be me. I don't want to be the guy that's like allowing his wife to get disrespected. Like people always tell me that anyway. And so he got up there. I think that he sort of like overcompensated. Maybe it was going to be a joke at first, and then maybe the slap sort of ended up being real. And then he's like, oh, well, I gotta, you know, be in this now. And then he starts screaming, and then that's sort of where we landed. I think that he got up there and he overcompensated, and it was just a lot. And that's where I'm at with it. I think two things are true. The joke was distasteful, even if he did not know that she has alopecia and she's been suffering from a lot of, you know, insecurities around her hair loss. But also, Will, come on. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, and you've been the epitome of a young black actor, young black rapper from Philadelphia, you know, started in the trenches and have worked your way up to a rap career, to an acting career, to, like, you know, being one, like, you know, arguably the top 10 black male actors of our generation. And to let it, like, for this to be a stain on your record is saddening. Yeah. But however, I'm not wasting too much time on it, because listen, Jay got money. He will survive this. Like, it's for me, it's just like, yeah, the fallout now. Oh, all the sponsors is going to drop. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And give it a year, give it 2 years. He'll be able to, they'll be fine. Okay. It's bigger issues out here that we could talk about and that should be getting the attention, not this. But I just cannot harp again with saying that, like, it's never okay to hit someone. It's like that's never the answer. And that's where I stand. I respect and admire Will Smith. And I respect Chris Rock, and like, yeah, no. But interesting enough, Chris Rock's tour tickets done skyrocketed after this situation. Yeah, it had to add another show in Philadelphia, and it's
oh man, that Philadelphia show is going to be on one.
But he's not even talking about it.
I know, like, that's the thing. Everybody's expecting him to get up there and talk about it, and I don't know why people expected that. Like, yes, this is great material. This is great publicity. But you have to sort of absorb what happened to you and then write about it. You know what I mean? And he might not even really want to. I mean, I feel like he feels compelled to, because everyone's going to be talking about it for so long. For this, you're never going to escape this. Like, people are going to be talking about this for the until the end of both of your lives. Like, it's just going to be a thing. Well into, like, your, like, 80s. So people are going to be like, oh, remember back in, like, 40 years ago, you got your ass. Like, it's just going to be following you forever. But you still, like, have to... You still have to sort of absorb that and then work that into your comedy routine in a way that you feel is great for you. And that doesn't always happen quickly. So if you really want some good comedy surrounding this event, I would just go to other comedians. Go to your local comedians for that shit. Like, don't go to Chris Rock for that.
Chris Rock, little brother, who I didn't even know he had a little brother, his little behind is on tour talking about Will Smith ain't gonna come. Like, listen, okay, they all trying to eat off of this.
Exactly.
What I think is funny, though, is not anything about the situation, but the internet loves to play in our faces. And, you know, the internet, when this happened, they said, this is why Beyonce don't come outside no more. Okay? Because she's been to,
she's been to all of them.
She's been to all of them. She's been to the Kanye. She's been through this. And I forget the other ones that I'm trying to think what she has been through, but they was like, Beyonce done seen it all. That's why she don't come no more.
Yeah. It's the ghetto.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's just really, it's an all around unfortunate situation. And there's also, I think what makes it so much more, just like so heavy is that it does sort of get wrapped up in all types of conversations about, like, you know, the one that I mentioned before about Black women and their hair. There's also the, like, the respectability politics conversation of it all. It's like whether or not Will Smith has the right to mess up and not be vilified. And I think that there, all of that exists in this situation, and it's bringing to light a lot of ignorance of non-Black people. But it's also sort of like a really cut and dry situation, which makes it, I think, makes it really hard because there are a lot of people that are like not privy to those nuances of this conversation that just see Will Smith slapped Chris Rock and that's it. You know what I mean? Right is right, wrong is wrong, and like, let's just end it there. But then there are other people that are like, well, you know, considering the history of Will Smith and like what he's been through and, you know, the whole thing with Jada and also like, why is Will Smith not allowed to, you know, just get up there and be angry and, you know, and have a really low moment without being, you know, acting as if he's like this horrible person? Because we know he's not this horrible person. Like, there really haven't been, and, you know, for all we know, publicly at least, there really haven't been any moments like this where, you know, he has acted this way.
Yeah, never.
So I feel like there is some grace that we can give him. And this 10-year ban, I'm like, this is so dramatic. Like,
so, well, and also, again, not comparing apple. You can't compare apples to oranges, but I was, you know me, I love to read the Twitter. They said that the Academy of Motion Pictures and Arts and Science, the Board of Governors, has issued a more stricter restriction on Will Smith for this incident than what Kyle Rittenhouse had to face. And I said, ooh, but we're not even going there. But I mean, yeah. And this is another thing. Maybe you could break this down for me. Okay. So he resigned from the board and now he is banned for 10 years. So does this mean that he cannot win? Okay. So I can't attend and I'm not on the board, but if I am still producing great work, is he still eligible to receive an Oscar?
Yes. So his resignation, I mean, being in the Academy, I mean, there's a lot of perks that come with it, but there are a lot of people that can be in the Academy. It's sort of similar to who can be in the Grammy, the Recording Academy. Like, if you've been nominated before, if you are backed up by other people that are already in the Academy, that's how you end up being in the Academy. So there are a lot of people, like people that aren't even like famous, that are in the Academy. So the resignation just simply means that he won't be able to really vote, I don't think, anymore on certain things and things of that nature, which, you know, that kind of sucks. But it did say that the ban does not preclude him from being nominated or even winning. So he can still theoretically get nominated for his future work for the next 10 years. Now, whether or not the members of the Academy will even consider his material is another thing. So, you know, they can say all they want that he can be nominated, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they will nominate him.
And so then that this begs this question that we talk about, seems like a lot on the podcast, is despite what he has done here, if he is putting out Oscar-worthy work, like, you know, like, shouldn't it, like, you know, like, it, like, so now we can't separate the person from, like, the art from the person?
Look.
Just asking. I'm just asking a question.
It's, you know, I mean, look, I mean, we'll see what happens. I would not be surprised if Will decides to embark on a series of projects over the next 10 years that really showcase a lot more of his acting. Because he's getting up there in age. Like, some of these roles that he used to be able to do are probably not going to be, you know, as plentiful. So he's probably, I could totally see him venturing into more Oscar baby films, like the, you know, the types of roles that Oscars love to shower in awards. I could totally see him attempting his damnedest to get nominated again, just so that he puts the Academy in an awkward position in having, because you know that he'll be able to drum up public support. So I could totally see that happening in the next few years. And then we'll see how the Academy responds. I think at the very least, maybe we'll see him nominated once or twice over the next 10 years. I don't think that we'll see him win again. I think that he has pissed off so many members, so many high up members that were secretly probably at the Academy Awards, like clapping for him. And now they're like telling, you know, the powers that be like, oh, I can't believe he did that. He should never be invited back. Yeah. I mean, I think that I'm like in the middle of this. I am ultimately fine with a ban. 10 years is excessive. Like, if you want to, you know, say, okay, you did this, you acted ass real quick, so now you can't come for like next year. That seems fine. Maybe 2 years. That seems perfectly reasonable. But a decade? For what? It's not like he got up there and like slapped him in the face and then like pummeled him and like, you know, left him all bloodied and confused. Like, it was a slap. Mm. And it didn't even look like that hard of a slap, at least. I'm not trying to justify the violence. I'm just saying, like, have the punishment match the crime. Come on.
Yeah. So, there's our take on it. Y'all wanted it, Posse? You got it. Now, we're moving on to something that I really don't know a lot about, but I kept seeing it circulate on my Instagram, and then I saw the story, and then I like saw an update, and I was like, this update look a little interesting. Now, sorry, I got a little mint in my mouth. So an OnlyFans model, Courtney Taylor, I believe it is, allegedly stabbed her boyfriend to death in their apartment before racy content was posted on her social media page. Influencer Courtney, 25, known to her social media platforms as Courtney Taylor, was detained and later taken to a mental institution after killing her 27-year-old boyfriend. Police responded to a 911 call from Courtney around 5 p.m. Sunday at a luxury apartment building in Miami, Florida, where they found the boyfriend stabbed once in the shoulder. First responders transported him to a nearby hospital where he succumbed to his injuries. Officers said that the violence was caused by a domestic dispute. And there was like this image circulating around on the internet of like her covered in blood. And so I was just like, okay, like, this is crazy. I don't know who this OnlyFans person is, but not really giving much into it. Like, you know, just saw it like, ooh, that's sad. But baby, it looked like, so that happened last Friday.
Yeah.
Now, there is a video circulating around of this lady just chilling at a bar. And yes, and you know, in this day and age, everybody gonna pull out their phone. And the lady, Courtney, is confronted by this person on video like, so you just gonna be out in a bar living your best life? And so, which I do think it is a bit much, but like this person also goes as far, like posted this video and with their, the caption of the video, adding the Miami Police Department saying, "Does this look like a mentally unstable person to you?" As she claims, she's referring to the fact that Taylor was placed in a psychiatric hold after threatening suicide when she was brought in for questioning. And, you know, I don't know. But again, like I said, I don't know much about this woman. You know, if it ain't an Aussie OnlyFans, I don't know nothing about it.
Oh my God. How's the Aussie not? Oh, I'm sure you probably already talked about Aussie.
Yes.
I need to listen.
We can add him to the casualty as well, because listen, we got to talk about him too. But anyway, like, you know, I don't know. I didn't know who she was, but then it's like, you know, when you also see this, like, girl, Miss Mamas, like and again, they say it was a domestic dispute. The neighbor said that, like, you know, they were constantly arguing. It looked like the boyfriend had recently moved to Florida to live with her. And it just is a little concerning. The boyfriend's family kind of wants answers, and the boyfriend's family is feeling like, he did not deserve for his life to be cut so short in that heinous act of violence. And the boyfriend's family has questions. Now, I don't know. I'm a proponent of people keeping their hands to themselves. However, like, you know, there are a lot of things happen behind closed doors that we do not know anything about. I don't know if this boyfriend could have been abusive and this is self-defense. Like, I don't know any of that.
Yeah.
And that most certainly could be the truth. But if that is the case, and this happened Friday, why is your ass at a bar a week later?
Yeah.
In public.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know. I mean, it's tricky, like you said, because it's hard to, you don't know all the facts. We don't know anything about this couple. I don't know these people existed until now.
Okay.
So, you know, I can't really draw any conclusions. All I can say is that, once again, in a similar vein to what's going on with the Will Smith conversation, this conversation is going to get wrapped up in a lot of trauma that Black people have with the criminal justice system, and especially Black men when it comes to white women, and how oftentimes their words lead to our deaths in history. And looks like in this particular instance, her actions specifically led to his death. Now, whether or not it was a justified killing, I don't know. I don't even know how you even figure that out if no one was in the room.
Right.
I don't know. I'm kind of tiptoeing around because I don't really know how to feel yet. I know how this is going to come across optically, but I will say it is sort of strange to be out in a bar. Now, from what I understand, this bar was like in a hotel, so maybe it was at the hotel that she was staying at, because obviously she can't stay at her apartment right now. So maybe she was just like coming down for a drink. And but even that, I'm like, I don't know if I really want to be seen
anywhere,
especially at a bar a couple of days after I killed my boyfriend, and then I was claiming that I was going to kill myself, because that's why she got placed under the ticket.
And I don't know. This woman could be traumatized and abused, and like, so I want to give her,
be handling it the way that she knows how. Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So I want to give her grace in this situation. And that, but also, like, I'd be lying if I would say a part of me is just like, well, that the optics just don't look good. Like, you know, how convenient, placed on this hold, and then you out. Like, if that were to be me, I would be, first of all, I wouldn't be at a hotel. I would be flying back home. I would be in the arms and support of my fam. Like, there's just a lot. So I just thought that was so interesting and kind of reading that and diving a little bit more deep into it. So
it's gonna be rough. Y'all be watching this one closely because it doesn't seem that cut and dry because there's just so many details that we don't know and there's already conflicting reports of their relationship. And of course, no one really knows the true nature of anyone's relationship except those people involved.
Right. We've
heard accounts of the family and close friends saying, like, we would have never thought that this would happen. Like, we go out with them. They're always so, like, fun to be around. It just doesn't make any sense that this would happen. And then you have, like, the neighbor that claims that one time he did see him swing at her at one point. He doesn't know if it was open or closed hand, but he's seen them get into physical altercations before. So it's just like you get one sort of testimony, you get another testimony. So I don't know where we go from here. I'm going to be interested to see how this works. But yeah, I think that the most weird thing about all of this is 3 days ago, you're saying you're going to kill yourself and you get placed in a psychiatric hold. And then the next thing you know, you're at a bar drinking. It's just like, all right.
Right. But
we'll and all of that weird stuff that's coming out about her, like saying, oh, I only date rich. It's given real. So it's like she's already sort of like an unsavory person. If you have the audacity to go on a podcast and say something like that. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that anyone deserves to get hit or abused.
Right.
Not the point that I'm making. I'm just saying, like, in the eyes of public opinion, this is going to get very, very messy because of the fact that she is not like your typical damsel in distress. It seems like there's like a lot of stuff going on here. So I'm just interested to see how this goes and how this all plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. Me as well. So any updates that we get or any updates that y'all see on the stories, tag us, tag me, slide in them DMs and send it to me because I want to follow this closely. Now this next casual tea, baby, a friend sent this information to me last week and I was like, oh, I haven't even seen anyone talking about it. But everybody's good favorite, Abercrombie and Fitch, going back to your high school days. Remember those shirts and jeans and, you know, destroyed denims and cargo shorts and those illustrious shirts that we all love to wear or at least had? Well, dun 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 dun. Netflix is making a documentary. And bang bang, you know, when Netflix make a documentary, either three things about to happen. We about to give you the most love in the world, or you're about to be the most captivated person in the world, or you might want to prepare to go into hiding because they're going to reveal some truths. Now, this is the thing for me about this documentary, because you can watch the trailer. You can like type in Abercrombie and Fitch Netflix and you can see what the trailer is about. And I'm guessing you can assume what it's about already. That basically Abercrombie and Fitch, they had a type. They had a clientele that they only wanted to serve and work for them. And I always knew that, like, and here's the thing, like, even when I was in, I'd say, high school, and before I really, like, I mean, I knew what discrimination was. I knew those type of things, but, like, I never could, like, grasp it. I always felt so uncomfortable in Abercrombie and Fitch. I always felt like, I've worked in retail for a very long time. And I just can remember like walking in and like not being greeted, or like walking in and just like, you know, and then when I was in high school, like I applied, I went through this like group interview and like, you know, they had a type, they had a fit, you had to look a certain type of way. And it's like the trailer in which that I saw on Netflix documentary, it seemed like the work discrimination laws and policies that are currently into effect today, it seems as if like The exact opposite was like how Abercrombie and Fitch operated.
Yeah.
Did you see the trailer?
I did see the trailer. I feel like I have, like, because I didn't really, I was not a fashion person growing up. Like, I was not, like, my sister was that way. Like, she was the one always in the, she was a mall rat, always in the mall, looking for new clothes to wear, trying to follow the trends. I was a lame in middle school and in high school. I did not participate in that stuff. But I certainly did hear all sorts of, like, and this, and Abercrombie and Fitch was not the only brand. Like, there was a big thing with, what's it called? Hilfiger as well. Mm-hmm. And a few other brands. American mm-hmm. Eagle also got into it a little bit too. So mm-hmm. they are not the only ones. And aren't Abercrombie and Fitch the names of two slave owners? Plantation owners? Mm-hmm. Isn't that like a thing? I'm pretty sure that's a thing. I think that's like how it all, like, that's how it entered my public knowledge. Like, I remember being in the mall one time, like, with like my grandmother or whatever, and she was like, oh no, we don't shop there. Those are plantation owners. I was like, oh, okay. And this was like years ago, like over a decade ago at this point. So they've been into some shit for a long time. And I'm kind of just now shocked that Netflix is just now hopping on it. But yeah, they have been, we knew that they were racist as hell. We knew.
And not even racist though. Like, I mean, yes, but also like when we talk about like cyberbullying and we talk about bullying in general, like they literally were saying like, this is the cool kids mm-hmm. and you can't be with us. Like it just is like, there's just so much embodied in this that is crazy to me. And I can't believe that they are still operating and running. But what I also thought was so interesting, because like, you know, in wake of all of this that is happening, child, not they going to take today Instagram. Okay. You ready for this?
What they going to say?
Thank you for giving us a chance to show you who Abercrombie is today and for being a part of who we will be tomorrow. The signed, this is Abercrombie today.
I mean, this is what every company does when they get into it. Like, and everybody says like, oh, you're actually a really messed up kind of company. You're a messed up kind of brand. You're racist. You're this. You're that. And then it's like, okay, well then let's start hiring the black people. Let's get them in front of the camera. Let's get an inclusion and diversity team in here. Let's release a statement. Let's put up a black square during the summer of 2020. Let's do this. Let's do that. Black Lives Matter. Wah, wah. Like, this is, they're just going through the motions at this point. Like, I personally don't give a damn about Abercrombie and Fitch because I wasn't ever shopping there anyway. None of their clothes appeal to me anyway. Like, I lived in the Northeast. It was cold for 2/3 of the year. Okay, I was not wearing any of that beach shit anyway. And that goes for Hollister as well. So
yeah, they all the same.
But all the same.
My question though is, it's like, you know, when they release a statement like, thank you for giving us the chance to show you who Abercrombie is today. Well, how do you make a statement? Well, bish, is you going to address who you was yesterday? Like, yeah. How do we just move forward to today? Like, that's what I don't like. And when stuff like this happens with companies, okay, we get it. But like, are you going to actually address who you were? Because I feel like in order to move forward, we should acknowledge. And I think, again, that's like such the huge part of the issue in this country. And again, like, we're always back to like, why is everything about race? Because y'all don't want to talk about it. Y'all want to like sweep it under the rug. And then when ish pop off, it's like, oh my God, why are we here again? Because we never addressed it. That's why. And we are screaming to be heard and to address it.
It's just like the fact that everybody just thought that they could get away with it too. And they were getting away with it because like,
and still are.
Yeah. And this conversation ain't new. This conversation was happening like by like older black people. When I was younger, like people knew what was going on and there were lawsuits and there were all sorts of stuff coming out in the news, but they continued to operate as if nothing was ever really happening because a decade ago, believe it or not, a decade ago, it really wasn't like nobody really gave a damn. Mm-hmm. They didn't give a damn. Like, it was like, oh, you know, we have reports of racism, but it's not really hurting our bottom line, so who cares? You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we'll just, you know, we'll say, we'll have like the CEO put out a statement and say, like, we would never, how dare you even insinuate that we would ever engage in racism. We're only hiring people that look good to us. Okay, and if you're
and
not
that's still
them,
discrimination,
then maybe you should just go look in the mirror because something's off, and then try again in 2 years. Whenever you get like a skin lightening routine, I don't even know. It's just like they did not care. They didn't care, and now that we as a country over the past few years, like it seems like ever since the election of Obama all the way up until the Donald Trump era, it feels like we have been dealing with racial reckoning after racial reckoning after racial reckoning after racial mother effing reckoning. And now that we are no longer at the point where we are going to accept half-assed apologies and these statements from CEOs and CFOs and all these hoes that we don't, like faceless hoes that we don't even know who we're talking
about. Not CEOs, CFOs, and all these hoes.
I'm just saying.
Sorry.
Now that we don't know, now that we're not down with this anymore, now everybody's like, actually, now they don't know how to deal with it because they never really had to in the first place. So,
yeah. Another thing that makes me frustrated is that, like, the fact that they've done this over and over again, and it's like, these are the clothes that are deemed to be cool, and, you know, but yet, in the hip hop era or in the black culture, you know, our attire is considered urban. It's considered, you know, oh, it's, you know, if you were to see someone in Abercrombie, or if you were to see someone in Sean John, Rockaware, Echo, like, you know what I mean? Like, you would demonize, or the police would look at somebody in the Rockaware, FUBU, like, you know, I'm just trying to go back to like the 2000s. Like, they would see somebody in that image and automatically cast them in a light that is, oh, criminal or up to trouble. And see, like, it just is like, it's just
and
so.
Look at y'all now.
And look at y'all now. And look at y'all now. But listen, I will be here for the first of all, I love a good documentary. And especially.
People are getting dragged. People are getting dragged.
And again, I haven't seen much about it yet. And I'm trying to say, when does it come out? Because, like, I just know it's a lot is going to be said. And a lot of people will be interested in this because it's like, it's something that of like my era that I can remember that. And actually, I have like direct feelings I feel attached to this. So I'm excited. When is this coming out? Let me see if I give y'all a date, because I will be
in Pittsburgh right now. There's a mall in North Hills called Ross Park Mall. They had a big ass Abercrombie and Fitch store in there, and I've never set foot in there a day in my life because my grandma was like, no, we don't go over there.
So
and I was like, all right,
grandma said we don't go. So it looks like it is coming out April 19th. So listen, set your calendars, because I'm definitely so curious to watch this.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Keeping the teapot pouring, this is a
Interesting story. Lee Daniels finally apologizes to Monique, ending their 13-year feud following the Oscar win. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of you know, but during the Precious era, you know, Monique won an Oscar, was huge around the world, and we didn't see Monique again. Seemed as though, you know, she disappeared. She didn't have any roles. We didn't know what was going on. And this is what I will say about Monique, who is a Black woman who has a strong voice and speaks up. 10 years ago, she went on this press run explaining that she had been blackballed by Lee Daniels, Tyler Perry, and Oprah Winfrey. And she said that, you know, when they were touring for the promotional tour for Precious, Monique had fulfilled her obligations and they wanted her to go to some other festival to help promote the tour, to help promote the movie as it hadn't come out yet. And they wanted to get, you know, when you're trying to get Oscar buzz and all of this type of stuff, you got to do this type of thing. However, Monique said, I have fulfilled my contracts with you guys, and it's the holiday time, and I'm actually going to spend some time with my family. And they did not like that. And, you know, the company that overseed the production of Precious, and, you know, the heads of them, and, you know, Tyler, Monique, and Lee really wanted her to, you know, they're asking you to do, the network's asking you to do this. Like, you know, you gotta do this. Like, come on, do this. Because, right, like, you know, and like, and Monique stood her ground and she said, no, like, I'm gonna spend time with my family. And she said that Tyler Perry, Oprah, Lee Daniels turned their backs on her. They told directors and other studios that she was hard to work with, very demanding. And you know what that type of language, especially when spoken about a Black woman, is. And, you know, if it then it's whistled down the lane. And then literally we hadn't seen Monique in forever. And she came out about with this about 6 years ago. And a lot of people were like, oh, here she go. Here she go. Yeah. I can believe it. I could believe it. And then, you know, Reese, after that, she had started to kind of come out a little bit. We're doing some stuff here and there. Then, you know, she wanted us to boycott Netflix because Amy Schumer, who is a relatively new comedian, was able to demand this amount of money as opposed to when Monique was shopping a special around. Like, they were literally offering her pennies as if, like, she wasn't an Oscar award winning actor. If she wasn't, you know, the queens of comedy, if you haven't seen, like, you know what I mean? Like, if, like, she wasn't a veteran. And so, you know, it just seemed like this dark cloud just kept following Monique. However, the one thing that I will say is that through time and time again, when Monique said these, was speaking of these allegations, you know, and her story never changed. She kept saying the same thing. She kept saying the same thing. She kept saying the same thing. Tyler Perry, Oprah, Lee Daniels, they would not speak about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, recently we heard that more and more people have been getting involved. More and more people have been getting in the ears of Tyler. And we've heard that Tyler has apologized, but not apologized yet to Monique. And then we saw that a couple of weeks ago, Lee Daniels, he joined Monique on a stage a couple of Fridays ago for her comedy, because she's currently on a comedy show. And he said, I'm sorry for hurting you in any way that I did, he said. She was my best friend. He continued addressing the crowd. My best friend, y'all. Y'all think Precious was just, that was God working through both of us, and we're going to effing do it again. I love you. And he publicly apologized to her, which is something that she had been asking for. And yeah, it was kind of sort of great to see. And also, I kind of felt a little sad. The fact that, yet again, here this another Black woman speaking up and, like, you know, saying, screaming to us. And a lot of us looked at her like, she probably was difficult to work with. She probably, like, you know, and 13 years. And now here comes Lee Daniels apologizing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we certainly did not give her a lot of grace. I think the Black community, at least, was sort of like split down the middle. I think there were a lot of people that were like, "Oh no, yeah, I could fully support Monique 100%." And there were a lot of people that were like, "Nah, I mean, yeah, but she still got to play the game. Like, she probably was doing a lot, trying to like, you know, diss them or like not promote the movie or whatever, this and the third," which like. I think that there's like, once again, here I am, I go, "Baby, why don't you just meet me in the middle?" Just like right there in the middle. I feel like, yes, there is a bit of a game that you have to play in Hollywood. Yes, there might be some events, especially if you were like a smaller, I'm not saying that Monique is a small actor, but like in the grand scheme of things, she is not a blockbuster actor. Okay. In the Black community, we all know and love her from her early sitcom days and her comedy days. She is big to us. But to Hollywood in general, maybe not so much. And so, yes, there might be a few things that you need to do for Precious that aren't going to pay you. That sometimes, yeah, maybe because the way that Hollywood works, which isn't fair, but the way that Hollywood works, you got to suck it up and just go to this event and schmooze and rub and bump shoulders with the big wigs and, you know, network, you know, all that stuff. And she decided, well, no, because that's not in my contract. Mm-hmm. I did what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on to win an Oscar, mind you, mm-hmm. a mere few months later. So I did what I was supposed to do. I did my job. And no, I don't need to do this. I don't need to engage in this if I don't have to. And she's right. She's entirely right. Now, that might piss some people off, but it doesn't mean that she's wrong. And so...
And when it doesn't mean she's hard to work with.
It doesn't mean that she's hard to work with because she did her job. She did what she came there to do. She acted in your little movie. She won your movie a little award. And she packed her shit and left. So I think she pointed out something that is a flaw in this industry. It's like, why do I, if I'm not going to be paid to promote this film, why do I need to attend? And she asked that question of why. And people started giving her all sorts of answers. She didn't like the answers. And y'all didn't like the fact that she didn't like the answers. And so now y'all are trying to say, all right, well, I guess we're just not going to work with her anymore because she doesn't want to be a team player. And it's like, Oprah, Tyler, Lee, y'all were all wrong on that instance. It's okay to say so. It's okay to be like, well, you know, Monique, I feel like it probably would have been a lot easier if you had just done what we suggested and just promoted the movie. It would have been so much better if you just did that. But at the same time, if y'all have the funds to give this woman, because y'all produce this film, if you have the funds to do something and pay her for her time, then maybe you should have just, maybe what the real thing would have should have been is just do that and then she'll be there.
But she had said, and again, time and time again, it wasn't even about the money. It was the holiday season. And she had said for like maybe previous three holidays, she was unable to spend the time with her family. And this was the year that she was like, I'm not letting another holiday time go by and I'm not spending it with my family. And again, the more and more I think about the situation, I empathize so much with Monique because it's like, how many times are we like, do we say, put yourself first? Mental health is important. We need to take time for us. And it's okay to say no. And this woman literally said, no, I've been working and my family is more important to me. And they blackballed her. And they made us look at her like she was crazy when literally she is being a pioneer for breaking down of how these Hollywood things work. Because that's how like life is. Oh, you want to do this? You got to play by the rules. Well, who made the rules? Because I'd like to know.
Yeah.
So we just have to do as you say and not as you do. Okay.
Whoopi Goldberg, you in this mess too, because I know you sat up there on The View and told her, oh, you should have called me and I would have schooled you. Okay, so basically you're saying you would have just said the same thing that Oprah and all the rest of them told her, which is exactly what, and she held her composure so much on that show. And she said, as you know, not that she had anything to be angry about anyway. Well, obviously she did, but she sat up there and told Whoopi, like, I understand that, sister, but here's where I'm coming from. I feel like I should not have to do this, that, and the third for anybody. And it was past the Precious point at that point, because at that point it was about the Netflix thing where she laid out her resume and she told y'all, look, I have all of these awards. I'm probably the most awarded black female comedian in history.
And she had the numbers behind it. She had the movie. She had the life. She has the...
And you're shelling out all of this cash Amy Schumer, who is definitely, you know, a bright spot right now. She's definitely hot. She'll probably sell some tickets. So I understand that. But why am I getting $1 million or $500,000, whatever it was, and she's getting $13 million? That don't make no damn sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's crazy because she's currently on a comedy tour right now that the reviews of it are amazing. 50 Cent even went to it. And he spoke out and was like, that's crazy. I just went to a Monique show and it was the funniest show ever. And he was like, do I need to put Monique back on to something? Because she needs to be seen. And that kind of sort of sparked this other kind of conversation about Monique and just giving her more awareness. Also, shout out to T.S. Madison over there on Fox Soul. She has the T.S., not Madison Experience, but she has the T.S. Madison. I forget the name of the show, but yes, kudos to our girl T.S. Madison. She interviewed Monique, and Monique talked about this. And again, it was a very compelling interview. And if you have a chance to like just Google T.S. Madison and Monique on Fox Soul, watch it. And Monique also had Lee Daniels on her show and was speaking to Lee Daniels about this on the show before he publicly apologized. So I just wanted to like, you know, okay, listen, we got our T.S. Madison up in the mix too. But
it is nice to see all of these people heal. It's nice to see that this is going in a step in the right direction. It kind of reminds me, you know, the episode of The Proud Family where like Sugar Mama like gets reunited with like this woman that she feuded with a long time ago, and then they like make up and like win a dance contest. Like it's giving very much that. It's giving very much like, okay, y'all need to can come back together and, you know, deliver us some good quality content for, you know, black audiences. Give us good stuff, because both of you, like Monique, you're such a talented actor, you're a funny person. Lee Daniels, you are a talented director and storyteller. Y'all should be making magic together. And it's, I'm not saying that, you know, it's, you can't get into arguments and fights from time to time. We all family, we all fight, you know, we have disagreements, but it's just so healing to watch this happen, because yes, Monique was right. She was right. And we really played in her face for like 5 years.
A decade.
A decade. Yeah.
That's crazy. But I just, that's something I had always been following, so I wanted to bring it to the posse. Okay, keep it in moving, child. Whoo, Jesse.
I didn't even know this was a thing. We were talking about it, and I still don't even know what this is about. So, I'm going to sit back and listen.
Who we know, Jesse, you know him from Empire, you know him from Subway, you know him from Getting Arrested, you know him from Subway, because that's where allegedly he was headed that cold night in Chicago to get a Subway sandwich.
Like, he's been doing Subway commercials. Not him.
Not him. Oh god, not him either. Staged a hate crime. The people that he staged it with turned against him. He stood his innocence, was found guilty. He was sent to 150 days in jail. However, he filed an appeal. He was granted the appeal. However, he wouldn't get the appeal for, I think it's like 6 months, but then he posted bail. So now he doesn't even have to serve any time. Money talks. And now, child. And here's the thing. Like, I want to love Jesse. Okay? He comes from a great fan. Like, you know, but like, Jesse, just move on. Say you're sorry. Say you did it. Or like, here's the thing. If you still want to like proclaim your innocence, listen, that's your prerogative. But move on. Stop talking about it. Go away from us with this. Go up into the mountains. Go to the Caribbeans. Go somewhere and sit down. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Now listen. On April 8th, the former Empire star shared a clip of his latest single entitled Thank You God on Instagram. adding that all the proceeds would be donated to charitable causes. The lyrics video opens up with a signed statement by Jesse that reads, channeling these thoughts the best way I know. Love you. The track was released around the time of his March 10th sentencing for staging a hate crime. Some of the lyrics include, it's like they're hell-bent on not solving the crime. Taking out the elements of race and trans and homophobia that's straight taking lives. But turned around and act like I'm the one that killed the stride. See, and this is the thing that, like, is, hold on, let me just give you a little snippet because, hold on.
It's me is what they claim, why would they say it so? Y'all want me to explain things that I just do not know. Got all these mean niggas joking that my life is fading. But that's a
And so, like, here's my issue, Jesse. Like, listen, there is something to be said, though. Like, the fact that he is so hell-bent on that he is innocent. okay, all right. Although I feel like the evidence and everything else says something different. For me, what is, like, so hurtful and exhausting is that you keep wanting to bring race in this. You keep wanting to bring trans into this. You keep wanting to bring LGBTQ plus. You want to bring Sandra Bland into this. Like, no, well, Jesse. Like, that's the problem now. That's why that's why people don't see us. That's why people don't like the fact that you want to lump your staged hate crime to boost your career in with real ish that matters. Like, that is the part that I'm just like, Jesse, get out of my face. Because it's like, I just can't. Like, I just can't. I just can't with him.
6 minutes, sir. A 6 minute song. Who do you think you are, Kanye West? No,
this is not Man on the Moon. Okay.
No. Like, 6 more minutes of you lying. You lied, sir. You made this whole ruse about getting attacked. You had substances poured on you. It was racially motivated. It was sexuality motivated. Come to find out, it was all a complete fabrication. And you got caught, and you have been maintaining your innocence this entire time. Innocent from what? Lying? No! You lied! And you called yourself the gay Tupac. Tupac died! Tupac got shot and died! You didn't get shot, sir. You didn't die, sir. You got your ass caught and sent to jail, and then you didn't even spend the full 150 days in there for lying and wasting everybody's time, and now you're out here releasing freaking Life of Tupac, Gay Tupac Pablo bullshit with more lies.
With more lies.
As the great Aretha Franklin said, lies, lies, and more lies. Lies on top of lies. That's all that is. The book of trash. The book of lies.
I don't get it, Amon. Like, I am just like, and again, go away from us with this. Like, just go sit down. It would not be so bad if you were just not in our face with more lies. If you were like, it's just like, that's, if you want to believe that you are innocent, if you want to proclaim it, that's fine. But listen, go to your family's estate and go sit down. Don't be on a headline. Don't be making music. Don't, like, because here's the thing, though. Like, I love his sisters, and, like, you're tarnishing them with this. Like, you are, like, it's draining.
It's so draining. And the fact that, like, you got these other men involved, and, you know, they're adults. They agreed to take part in your little ruse and your little plan as well. So I'm not going to sit here and, you know, absolve them of that agency, but, like, it's just, you are entangling so many people in this, and it does not need to go any further than you have already made it go. Like, you got sentenced 150 days. You didn't even have to serve the entire time, which I still feel like is fine. Like, everybody is like up in arms about, like, and I, yes, there is a problem. There's a conversation that we can have about, like, the incarceration of Black men in, you know, in, you know, in regards to their counterparts. But this is a pretty cut and dry case to me. He lied and he wasted so many resources and time from a city who already is riddled with problems as it is. Like, they already don't even spend time on shit that they should be spending their time on. And so now you have them wasting all this money on a high profile case like this that doesn't even need to be going on. So, yeah, sure, spend the summer in jail. Like, seems fine to me. He didn't even have to do it. And you're still out. And then the first thing that you do after you get out is this.
Okay. I'm going to release a song that say, like, but I'm going to donate to church. Like, it's just like, you know, sir. And listen, we're not spending any more time talking about Jesse because I can't. But I just had to bring it to y'all because, listen, I told y'all I will keep y'all updated on Jesse. But it's he playing in our face.
Like, yes. He was so great on that show. I don't understand.
But I think he thinks he is still on Empire because this is something that... This whole story is like an episode of Empire. Like, I think he thinks that he is, like, he believes he's the character that he is on Empire. It's bizarre. But I do want to, before we conclude our casualty, I just wanted to just talk about some more BS that's going on. And anytime I see BS like this, I'm always bringing it to the posse and I'm always going to speak up and speak out. Alabama's Republican-controlled legislature passed two bills on the last day of the sessioning targeting transgender children, including one which makes it a felony for a doctor to administer gender-affirming health care to minors. Another bill which requires K-12 students to use a bathroom designated for their biological sex included a last hour amendment Thursday's critics have compared to a similar legislation in Florida dubbed the Don't Say Gay law. It would ban classroom discussion about sexual orientation and gender identity in elementary schools. The state house representative also approved as section 184, which would make it a class C felony for medical professionals to provide gender affirming care, such as hormone therapy, puberty blockers, and gender reassignment surgeries to people under 18 and younger. And then this is what really pissed me off. There are very real challenges facing our young people, especially today's society's pressure on modern culture. Okay, what the is modern culture? But anyway, I believe strongly that if the Lord made you a boy, you are a boy. And if he made you a girl, you are a girl. We should especially protect our children from these radical life-altering drugs and surgery when they are at such vulnerable stages in life. Instead, let us focus on helping them properly develop into adult God intended them to be, she said. And that's their senator. It's statements like that, that it's like, I just can't. I like, okay. So you want, like, oh, I just, it's statements like that, that just really get me, because it's just like, oh, okay. So sure. Like, let's infuse God in this. Let's, like, let's make it about the God, and let's make it, oh, if God, like, y'all kill me with this ish. And again, I stand on what I stand on. Like, oh, okay. So yeah, let's not talk about gender or sexual identity when we are at the most vulnerable, and it could be helpful, and representation effing matters, and it's important to see that. And it's like, oh, okay. So it's just so frustrating. And then, and I stand on what I stand before. Okay. I don't necessarily disagree with, like, some of the, their, what they are saying about administering, you know, different medications and things. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely think there should be an age range on it. However, I definitely think it should be at the discretion of the parents. And however, if a 18-year-old can get a breast augmentation, if a 17-year-old can get a breast augmentation, if a 17-year-old could get lip injections, if a 16-year-old can get collagen, it, like, have that same energy, Alabama. Because we're supposed to be protecting our children from God-fearing medications, right? Oh, okay, because that's what I thought that I heard that you said. But I guess only when it applies to a group that you guys deem as less than or other or don't believe to be seen as people. Okay, because I'm sorry, I didn't know, like, you was in my body and my brain, and you didn't know how I felt. You don't know what I feel or what I believe. Okay, it's okay. But... okay, it's 2022 that they just passed the bill that you can't discriminate for hair in the workplace, and this is the ish that y'all want to be working on. Like, I don't have the time. Why do we bother you so much? Like, why are y'all so pressed? I don't get it. Like, why does everything have to be, like, so sexualized? Why? He got to stay away from the bathroom. Oh, he can't go to sleep. Like, why y'all even taking that there? Like, it just, for me, it's, like, mind-boggling, and Spicy Brycey is getting tired, and it's just, like...
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. It really is. It's just disgusting. And like I said, like you said, that I think that there are certain things that should be more regulated, of course. I don't think that, you know, transitioning, and maybe I'll catch a little heat for saying this, and, you know, like, once again, fully invite anyone with more knowledge to speak with me about any of this, because I will admit that I'm not as well versed in all of this as I would like to be. But I think that there should be safeguards to transitioning. I think that there should be talks. I think that there should be time that you put into the decision before you make it. I don't think it should be as easy as, you know, your 3-year-old or your 4-year-old. Not that I think this is even really happening.
Right.
Comes to you and says, I want to do this. And then you make the decision to transition at such a young age. I think that there should be time and some energy put into it. And I think that there should be time and energy put into how we handle this legislatively. I don't think that it's like just this ban it all together and let's just start criminalizing the act. That is crazy to me. Like, what are y'all doing? And I know that for some of these people, it's about, you know, making sure that they get votes. I think that there are some people that don't even give a damn about this issue. And it's about making sure that they appeal to a certain base so that they can win these votes when the primaries come up and when the next presidential election comes up. And I know that there are some people that are just generally sick in the fucking head. You got Andrew Giuliani, the son of what's-his-face, the former mayor of New York, talking about, I'm going to be the last guy in a long time that looks under the hood right there. But my daughter, I've had a daughter, and she's going to stay a daughter for as long as I can, as long as I'm going to be around.
Like,
so,
what?
Sir, exactly. So you're saying that you went, and you, and I'm sorry for being so graphic, y'all. You're saying that you went and you looked at the nether regions of your 4-month-year-old daughter?
And again,
talking about she's going to stay out, like, I'm going to be the last guy in there front. Excuse me? What is wrong with y'all?
Why does everything have to be sexualized? Why?
Disgusting.
Why, when it comes to the LGBT plus community, are we sexualized? Like, I don't get it. Like, what is your, like, it do y'all want to tell us something? do we scare you? Is it that seeing us makes you realize that, like,
It's the same thing every damn time. Like, it's like the whole thing between the blacks and the whites. Like, no, you can't be sleeping with them black folks. You're going to catch the black. And then it's the same thing with the gays. Like, no, you can't be sleeping with them gays. They got a gay disease that's killing them all. Like, you gonna catch the gay. Now it's the trans folks. Like, no. Like, you can't be around them trans people because they're gonna turn your kids into sexual deviants and all sorts of. It's just like, yeah, what?
Right. And then it's like, you know, trans is not new. You know that they've been around since the Egyptian time. Like, you know, like, it's like, this isn't a new concept. They haven't, like, they have been here And so the fact of like you thinking like, oh, if we talk about it, it's going to be like, no, they've been here. They've been surviving already. In fact, y'all should. Okay, because now y'all getting me. In fact, y'all mother should take a note out of their book to be a, like, first of all, we can learn something from them. We can learn something from. Look how long they've been persecuted. Look how long and they are still here and they still speaking up. They are. We can learn something. But y'all should like it's just like, if you only knew the courage that it takes to say, hey, I'm gay. If you only knew the courage that it takes to say, like, to come out to your parents. If you only knew the courage that it takes for you to know that you are different and the courage that it takes to identify that and to say, this is the life that I'm going to choose, because no matter what anyone out there thinks of me, and it's like, I don't know why I'm getting emotional right now, but it's like, no matter what anyone thinks of me, like, no matter like the ridicule that I'm going to go through, the laws that they're going to pass, the hate that I'm going to get, and they still are living in their truth. Like, that to me is the most beautiful thing in the world. And I will always be an ally and I will always support, because it's like, it literally is like moving me to tears to think like, and here I am thinking like, you know, I have a heart and I like, it's sickening. It really is. And I just, we have to do better as a society. We have to, we, more conversations like this need to exist. More people need, like, we, it's just,
pick up a book, have a conversation, go out of your way to learn more about what it is that you do not understand. Because I guarantee you, it is not as insidious and as harmful and as, like, there's no trans boogeyman out there, guys. Like, there, it's just, that's just not how things work. The fact that you are seeing more and more instances of trans experiences and gay experiences, black, whatever it is, the fact that you're seeing more of those experiences because we finally got to a point where we can talk with one another and not be ridiculed as much. That's the only reason that you're seeing more and more of it. They were always around. We just shut them out and we acted like it didn't exist. Same thing with the Abercrombie and Fitch thing. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, we knew it was there. We just acted like, all right, well, that's just the way the world works. But no, we're not with that anymore. And now we need laws that show that. And of course, we're going to get the pushback because people don't like to see change and they fear things that they do not understand. So just go out and do your research. I promise you, this world is not as scary as you're making it out to be. The world is a very scary place. But it doesn't have to be.
Right. Don't let your fear drive you. But whew, got me a little emotional. But I am always happy to have you. I just never know where our conversation is going to go. What's going to set us off or like anything. Which is why, again, we've created the Casualty for us to be able to have these dialogues in a safe place for people to be heard, different opinions to be expressed. You don't have to like our views, you know, but you can hear them and we'd love to hear your views. It's called a conversation. It's called a dialogue. But Aman, as always, thank you so much for coming on the Casualty. What you got cooking up over there? What people can follow you at? What you doing?
Yes, thank you so much for having me back. You can follow me at Aman Adwin. You can follow me everywhere at Aman Adwin. I recently closed things down for the time being over at the Choir Room with Matt LaGoria, covering all things Glee. So if you have not been able to keep up, or if you're trying to get into Glee, please listen to our podcast. You have now like 250 episodes of content to just watch alongside or listen alongside to watching Glee. And as always, you can find me over at RHAP covering both Big Brother Canada 10 and Drag Race Season 14.
Yes. Also, I was with Derek this weekend and he had me watching Drag Race. I was like, I've never really gotten into it. So Derek and his friend was like, if you're going to start, he said I should start at season 10. Is that right?
Season 10's okay. I would say start with season 5, but I can understand him not saying probably because season 10 is like a little bit more modern and it's sort of like more indicative of how the show is today. So that's a fine season to start with. But I would definitely say I would start with like around season 5 because season 5 is such a good season. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm on it. But thank you guys. And this week, this has been your casual tea.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be you, might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And it happens to be a very sad and tragic Freak of the Week. Like I was telling you earlier, we were in Pittsburgh this weekend for a charity event. And on Friday, we got to take a tour of the stadiums. And while we were in the stadiums, they were like having the jerseys. And I was like, ooh, look at number 3. And they were like really pushing us to get number 3, Dwayne Haskins jersey. The next day, Saturday morning, we're all getting ready to go to the charity event. And the news broke that Dwayne, the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback and 2018 Heisman Trophy finalist at Ohio State, was struck and killed by a dump truck Saturday morning while trying to cross a highway on foot in South Florida, police said. Haskins, who re-signed with the Steelers in March after serving as a reserve last season, was 24 years old. Dwayne was trying to cross an interstate 595 westbound lanes near the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport when he was struck and hit by a dump truck. They don't have the reasons as to why he was walking on the side of the road. You know, one could imagine he could have ran out of gas or something, but my God, life is so short and it is just so sad and so tragic. And our thoughts and prayers here on the Purple Pants podcast go out to Dwayne and his family. And I always say, give people their flowers. You ask, why does it matter? Because life is not promised. We are not promised another second on this earth. And it is so important to live your life how you want to live it. It's so important to love the people that you love. Show them, tell them that you love them, because in an instant, life can be gone. And I just want to dedicate this podcast and this Freak of the Week to Dwayne Haskins and his family. Absolutely gone too soon. If Dwayne is our Freak of the Week, that means we are coming to a close of another podcast. I thank you so much for always supporting your baby boy, uplifting me, and showing me so much love. It truly means the world to me, and I am so grateful to have this platform and so grateful to have the Purple Pants posse. I want to give y'all flowers because it's important for you to know how much I am devoted and love doing this podcast. If you could be so kind to ensure that you are subscribed to the Purple Pants podcast, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere podcasts reside. We are there. Hit subscribe, write a review, give your baby boy some 5 stars, and don't forget to tell a friend, to tell a friend, to tell a friend. And why does it matter? Because It's a. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.